Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Speaking of fresh on a Fresh Fridays on the G and Ursula Show, Ursula?
Yes.
You look good today. I love what you're wearing, girl.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. You gave us a heads up. You said, please, you'll want to dress up because yes. We have a guest today in studio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If you check out G's social media, you have the best videos.
You really have
the best videos. And your video guy,
Evan.
I know that's not a great title, but he's here today.
He is.
And so, yeah, I thought I couldn't wear my usual sloppy stuff.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
And what you know, one thing I like about Evan? He makes me look better than I usually do.
Evan, can we work on the double chin here, please? Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, coming up at 10:30.
What's that?
Mike Salka is going to join us. Has he recovered from that race yesterday? We've got to talk about it. It was the most discussed race in a long time in this newsroom.
Yes. What happens in this race is just... Oh,
hilarious. But then we'll also talk about the draft and the importance of who the Seahawks picked.
Yep.
And then what happened with our local favorites.
No doubt.
Yeah, they
Roma
did
Duse
well.
And Michael Penix Jr. But right now, what's new at 10?
What's new at 10?
A woman who was assaulted in downtown Seattle is angry about how her case was handled when she contacted police, and our reporter Kate Stone is here with the details.
Yeah, I talked to this woman, Grace, who says she called Seattle police after she was assaulted in broad daylight, but nobody showed up to help. She says last Friday afternoon, she was walking out of the downtown Macrina Bakery on 3rd Avenue when a man began following her and muttering some things to her, and some of those things were sexual.
Kind of told him just to F off and, just to leave me alone. And I guess he didn't like that. And he just immediately slapped my butt very hard.
Grace told me she called 911 and the operator told her to stay there where she was. An SPD officer would meet her there shortly.
I was there for an hour and they never showed.
She says after an hour, she went home. She called SPD again. They told her an officer would meet her at her house, but nobody did. An officer did call her later that night, but Grace said the treatment of the experience was kind of upsetting to her.
Got my name and, you know, my date of birth. And then he kind of was joking with me about, oh, yeah, you know, Valentine babies. Our parents were having fun. Ha, ha, ha.
And so... Did anything else happen following that? I mean, so I know that you have contacted SPD.
I have, yes. I contacted SPD to get their response on it. And Grace says that she has not heard from them since the officer who took the incident report and texted her a picture of the business card and the incident report. However, she says she has had some contact from SPD, but not the officer.
And I just get text messages that ask, how was your experience dealing with, you know, the police department and the...
She says that her experience has not been that good, obviously, and that this is not the first incident that she's had where police have failed to respond, she feels, in a timely manner. And it makes her uncomfortable with living in the downtown Belltown area. And she says that SPD should have taken this more seriously.
He could have been pissed off and turned around and tried to find me and do something else to me, you know, and taking the report, especially over phone, like, what? Who does that? I've never had the police call and say, okay, well, I can't show up to your place, so I'm going to go call you instead.
Okay, a couple of things come to mind. Right now, I just mentioned earlier in the hour or in the show that SPD is at its lowest staffing level in history, fewer than 500 active officers currently. She's not so upset with the fact that the response took so long, but it was more just how she was treated or all of the above?
It's all of it. It's essentially that she didn't feel that the report that she made was being taken very seriously. And there has been, of course, a lot of talk about the staffing shortages. In fact, there was a Seattle Times watchdog report that had a 2 years ago, internal memo that said because of lack of staffing, sexual assault and child abuse unit cases with adult victims were not even being investigated by SPD. And that actually triggered so much outcry that Chief Diaz directly addressed it in a video, promising to devote more resources to investigating sex assaults.
If you're reporting a sexual assault, please do not call the non-emergency line. Call 911.
But Grace says that's exactly what she did and nothing happened.
This to me feels normal. And it should not feel normal. You know, everybody wants to blame COVID for the cause of the lack of police response. But this, again, is my experience every time.
And it was also the experience of another story I did. I don't know if you remember the Howe Street Stairs attack that I did back in last February. And I talked to a woman named Emily there who says that she was also attacked on the stairs. And she had a similar experience with the officer who took her report.
That officer was super blunt. And it was just kind of, I like gave him all the details, but he was not empathetic at all. And I just, he was like, what's your address? What's your name? Like, what happened? Be clear about what happened. Which is not very fun to respond to when you've just been attacked.
Mm.
Especially in light of the claim that was filed today against some of the top leadership at SPD. I have reached out to SPD asking how their culture has changed, because 2 years ago they knew this was a problem. They addressed it then publicly. And given this incident that Grace told me about, the questions I have for them is, what is the documented evidence of departmental change in how they investigate these kind of claims?
Well, and I also want to know, what should you do if you say call 911 and then you call 911 and then you are met with maybe a lackadaisical or a feeling like it's not being taken seriously? Kate, I know that you're going to continue to dig into this. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to switch it up here, G, because did you hear that grizzly bears are going to be returning to the North Cascades? So this is a brand new plan. The National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have announced this plan. And Congressman Dan Newhouse has concerns. And he said this during a recent House subcommittee meeting.
It's clear that the Park Service, as well as Fish and Wildlife, know that these bears can and probably will move out of the zone where they're going to be dropped because they're going to get hungry.
So under this particular plan, 3 to 7 bears are going to be reintroduced into the area every year until the base population is about 25. But they said, I think they want to rebuild a population of 200 bears in a century. So for those of you who don't know.
That's me.
I did some quick research.
Thank you.
The bears are a threatened species under the Federal Endangered Species Act. So the agencies, though, want to designate these bears again. And I'm going to have to explain to you how they're going to bring the bears in. But they're going to.
By the way, everything you're giving me right now, I need it all. So please.
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to designate the bears as a non-essential experimental population because they want to have more flexibility if a problem should come up. For example, if you are camping with your Louis Vuitton luggage and you suddenly encounter a bear.
What am I supposed to do then?
Exactly. If you are threatened, you would.
No, you
would be able to kill the bear in self-defense, is what they're saying.
Okay.
So with this special designation, you would be.
But before I go to shooting the bear, what am I supposed to do if a bear approaches me like, hey, G, what's up?
Make yourself big. Right?
Bear spray.
Bear spray. If you don't have bear spray, you're acting like you're not afraid.
Is that
what you shouldn't do is run, which would be my first instinct.
Is that mandatory? So every time you go camping, you should have bear spray.
Yeah, I bring it camping every time. Not just for bears, actually, because sometimes in my experience, I've encountered more, shall we say, alarming human characters than I have wildlife, but I have encountered bears before. The bear spray goes like 40, 50 feet. I mean, I love the fact.
What do you aim for? Do you aim for their belly or
the
their eyes?
The face.
Eyes.
Yeah, but it shoots like 40 feet and it's like a hose. I mean, the can is like the size of a spray paint can.
I know what G's thinking right now.
No.
I know that you're thinking, I hope I'm never in a position where I have to use bear spray.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Okay. Because if I hit the bear spray and the bear say, ooh, that tastes good, G, then what?
Then you're making yourself really big and hoping that the bear gets bored with you.
Then he's going to have some G with hot sauce. What do you think?
Oh, no. Okay.
You know, Hillary Clinton would carry hot sauce in her purse.
I heard that.
All right, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just getting thrown off for now. Okay. So again, so I said the goal would be you bring him in a couple a year, and the goal would be over 100 years, you have 200 bears. And then this would come. I know people say, well, how much is this crazy idea going to cost? Could cost up to $140,000 a year to capture and transport the bears. Okay. So here's the thing. They would be. So they're looking for grizzly bears that have no history of conflicts with humans. So these would be the gentle bears. They also would be on a berry-based diet. They'll be captured from different areas, and they'll be released between June and September of each year. And they would be captured using culvert traps. This is all thanks to the Seattle Times. They would be transported by truck and trailer to staging areas. But from there, they would be transported by helicopter to remote places like Glacier Peak Wilderness Areas, Stephen, is it Mather?
Ooh.
Pasayton? What do you think?
That's where I camp all the time, Glacier Peak Wilderness Area.
Yeah, so you're going to have some bears to
And you know what?
With.
I'm not worried about this at all. I think this is great. Yeah. For too long, we've prioritized like farmers and livestock over native species. Like you can have ranchers can range their cattle and destroy the land for free, virtually free, on all public land in the West. And we're worried about a wolf killing one or two of them. Well, the wolves are making a comeback to the point where they're not threatened anymore. The cows are still fine. The bears are going to be fine out there. They will cull the deer and populations that decimate a lot of the native vegetation. They're very responsible for spreading all kinds of seeds, so dispersing native fauna, flora. And it's a keystone species that's critical to an ecosystem. So this is a great move.
I think we lost G. No, you would have to
no.
Use the bear spray.
No. I'm gonna bring it back because there's some of us that don't live like over on the east side. You know, like Issaquah and all those and Sammamish and all those places. And like I think that if you. This is just my thinking, okay, Ursula? I think that if you live over there, I think it is important with the training that you should have. You should understand the differences between a black bear, the differences between a grizzly bear, what you should do if you encounter each of them. Or if you are someone that goes camping and those, then you're out in the wilderness. But if you're me on a regular basis, right, you just stay away from those parts. But so I'm not making fun because I do think that bears have probably coexisted with us humans for years and all of a sudden they're becoming extinct. So I'm not being funny when I say I think it is very important to try to get them back into our society. And so if the goal is 200 in 100 years, mm-hmm. Wow, think about that for a second. The goal of 200 bears in 200 years. I mean, excuse me, in 100 years. So that's something. So while I am lost because I still don't know what to do with the bears, I still think it's important to implement bears
My
back.
Closest bear encounter was when we were at Yellowstone, and I just remember people ahead of us who were hiking ahead of us were like, bears ahead. And my first thought was, where are the boys? Because, of course, I was in the back, at the end of between the four of us, I'm always lagging behind.
Yeah.
The boys had, scampered ahead, and I hear that bears are ahead, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this trip is going to come to a very sad conclusion.
Oh, so in your lifetime, like out in the wilderness, you've actually seen bears yourself?
Yes.
Wow. I never have. I mean, it's a zoo, but I've never seen them out in the wilderness.
You and I are just more comfortable not camping, so let's just keep that one real. Yeah. I happen to be on a family trip.
It's scary, though. I mean, I was hiking one time over on the Skokomish River, and we see a bear waiting in the river, and then it comes, like, charging through the water, a black bear, towards us. And I know you're not supposed to run, but we're, like, 100 yards away. At that point, we're just like, whoo, we're out of here. Right. Ain't messing with that at all.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, got a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about the new season of The Bachelorette. And the only reason we're bringing this up is because it is in production with the cast and crew filming at several locations in Seattle this week.
Oh, okay.
So, point of significance in terms of the franchise, which I am sadly going to admit that I have been watching since pretty much its inception.
Okay.
With the exception of a few seasons. Jen Tran is the first Asian-American lead in the program's history, and she was spotted on several dates with potential fiancés at Cary Park and Pike Place Market.
Nice.
I'm not going to give you any more spoilers, but we have an article on this on MyNorthwest.com.
Right.
Is this a show that you watch or ever watch? Does Lillian watch it?
No. We're on that that whole Love is Blind deal. We watch that. But you know what I've been thinking about? You know what I want to do? I want to do like something. Like I think that there's so much talent here in the building here at Cairo. I want to do our own like some type of reality show. Like who's going to be the next radio star? And we take like 10 candidates, right, from all over the Puget Sound. So we take somebody from this county and this county, and we do like something where once a week we show them going through all the things, whether it's being a producer, radio host, and all the behind the scenes. I'm actually being very serious. I'm telling you an idea that I have. And so who would be the next radio person? And then whoever that winner is, they get to come here once a month and they get to be a part of the staff.
I like it. Pitch it. Pitch it to management.
I'm being serious. Like we sit here, we talk about all of these shows, The Bachelor, Love is Blind, all these reality shows that people watch. Why wouldn't a local place right here watch something right here, where you see people representing Kitsap County, Snohomish County, Pierce County, all of these different counties right here. 10 contestants, this contestant. So everybody over in Kitsap County is like, yo, pick our person, vote for them.
And for everyone who says, I could do your job. I could do your job better than you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm actually telling real ideas. And I'm just, this is how I think all the time. These things, I think it's a great idea. But anyway.
It's like the real world, right? But real world filmed in Seattle.
But knowing management will say, no, G, it's not a good idea.
Liability.
Hey, coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, we're going to be having Mike Salk is going to join us. And when he joins us, two things we're going to find out about. One, his thoughts on the Seahawks' first-round draft pick out of the University of Texas. And two, who won the race between he and his producer, Mara? We'll do all of that next, G and Ursula.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the G and Ursula Show. It is a fresh Friday, and we're happy to say that we have Mike Salk from the Brock and Salk Show on Seattle Sports on with us right now. It was a big day yesterday, and we as Seahawks fans should be really excited about who they got.
Yes, absolutely. Why not? Byron Murphy, the number 16 pick of the Hawks yesterday. I don't know that anybody thought he would still be there then. It was a weird draft yesterday. The first 14 players in the draft were all on offense.
Wow.
Never happened before. The first 14 players in the draft were all on offense. Six quarterbacks, a whole bunch of tackles and receivers and one tight end. And by the time you got to the Seahawks, they had their pick of virtually any defensive player they could have possibly wanted.
Nice.
And they said, we want this guy. We want Byron Murphy. He is not the tallest and rangiest defensive tackle, but what he is incredibly strong, 300 pounds, a lot of it from the waist down, but like not in like a big fat 300 pound kind of way, more of the like he's almost looks like a running back kind of way. Like he is a feisty little guy inside.
Well, you and the Brock and Salk Show, you hear that show every single day from 6 to 10 on our sister station, Seattle Sports Station. You guys talked to him this morning. Give us some takeaways from that interview.
Likeable guy, for sure. Definitely enjoyed chatting with him. Gee, you were great to tell us about DeSoto, where he's from. And we did ask him about growing up in DeSoto and going to that high school and what it means. He's like, yeah, it means that we're good at football. It means football is life. And Brock did joke with him, like, hey, does that mean you start lifting and squatting in first grade? And he was like, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's when we start. Like, it starts real early.
Right.
And that, you know, they wear the mark of Von Miller and some of the other great stars that come from that area. So, but I liked him a lot. He's already graduated. He graduated in 3 years, did a ton of charitable work while he was in Texas, did a lot of stuff with kids, reading, feeding, etc. He just struck me as a quality guy, and he clearly is a really good football player. So you put those two things together. Mm. He seems like he's never been to Seattle. Excited to come up to the Northwest for the first time. Never been here. Excited to work with some of this new coaching staff. So all in all, yeah, a good day. It wasn't the only direction they could go yesterday. There were other options, and I think there were other.
Was gonna be an O-line. I mean,
that was an option. They could have stayed local and gone with Troy Faltano. They were, you know, O-line was definitely a possibility. They could have gone elsewhere on the defense. Jared Verse is a kind of a defensive end who would have also, I think, been a great pick, and he went to the Rams a few picks later. So there were other options. But I don't see how anyone could be criticizing what they did yesterday.
One of the things that you can maybe help all of us understand how good of the draft was for the Seahawks, you just told and explained the first 14 picks were offense, right? All offense. So that means 15 and 16, they had the opportunity to get the best out there on defense. The Seahawks being able to get the best out
there. I would
there.
Say the guy they got at 16, they probably liked more than the player went at 15. And it's unfortunate because Latu seems like a great dude, was here at Washington, ended up being medically retired by the medical staff here because of some neck issues. And obviously the Seahawks have some familiarity with those, Cam Chancellor and Cliff Avril. And the medical staffs being here in Seattle, I'm sure there's some crossover there. Anyway, he ended up back at UCLA a couple years later and had a phenomenal career, and by all accounts is a great great guy, and he may turn out to be a dynamic, incredible player for Indianapolis. And I think a lot of people will be rooting for him to be.
Mm.
But the risk there was probably going to be too much for them to take at number 16. And so instead, they get the guy that they had number one on their board defensively. And look, they needed it.
Yeah.
They were terrible against the run the last few years. They were bottom three against the run each of the last 2 years. You know what this guy does? He stops a run.
Yeah.
Well, you need
Perfect.
That. Yeah.
Okay. I need to talk about another team just because, hey, when we're not paying attention so closely, suddenly the Mariners are, what, in first place?
They are in first place. Why aren't we paying attention closely?
Over here in the show.
Oh, well, G only pays attention when they lose. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. I got a whole thing from G like 2.5 weeks ago about how the Mariners were terrible and the season was over and this and that. And I just kept saying, hey, man, it's early. And he's like, oh, early. We fought it. I mean, we fought like a married couple on our show a couple of weeks ago about this. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they rattle off, what is it now, 9 of 12 or 9 of 13?
It's not just you, Ursula. Yeah. I fight with others.
Yeah. He's high maintenance. He's a high maintenance friend. He's my most high maintenance friend.
But one of the reasons we love him.
And you know what I'm going to say today? The same thing I said to G a couple of weeks ago. It's still really early.
Mm.
Yeah, they're playing much better baseball. The first couple of weeks of the season, they played lousy baseball. And it's totally fine to point that out and be like, man, that's bad baseball.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean they're a bad team. It means that's team playing bad baseball. For the last 10 days, 12 games, maybe more, they've played great baseball. Mm. Their pitching has been sublime. Tremendous starting pitching. And they've hit the ball pretty well also. They've played really good baseball for the last, I don't know what it is, 14 games, something like that.
Love it.
Doesn't mean they're a great team either. It means that a baseball season is 6 months long. We're almost 1 month into this one.
Yeah.
And in the next month or so, we'll start to figure out what kind of team this is.
I'd rather be where we're at right now, but I need to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking.
Because you didn't think he'd... You didn't think...
Of the big race.
Yeah, so I kept hearing about this big
race. Were you one of the haters?
Yesterday. I wasn't one of the haters.
Are you sure?
I was kind of rooting for someone else, though. I was rooting for...
So you're a hater.
Mora. That doesn't make me a hater.
Yeah, a little bit.
No.
Did you think Mora was going to win?
I thought that she would have a good chance.
And what do you think now?
And I understand that...
Did you watch the video?
I have not watched the video. I'm going to wait. I was too busy scrambling this morning, but I will watch the video, and I understand that you did really well.
Well, I won. I did win the big race. I did win the big race,
okay,
yes.
So for people who don't know what we're talking about, was that 200 meters?
It was a 200-meter race against my producer, Mora. We've been talking some trash back and forth. And all of this was for charity. Mora was racing for Girls on the Run, which is a great group. Both of my kids did it. It's a really fantastic job of teaching young girls how to run distance, which is awesome. And I did it for Baseball Beyond Borders, which is another really cool organization here in Seattle. And they are working with young people to get them more involved in baseball, especially people of color, and just a really cool, both of them, really great organizations. And really, both of us lost yesterday. So I will be donating to both, and I think other people will as well.
How did both of you lose?
Well, because Mora lost. She got smoked in this race.
Oh, gee.
No, keep listening.
And I blew out my hamstring. There's a reason I'm standing right now, and it's because I can't really sit that well.
I know. I was looking like, what's going on there?
Yeah, with about 50 meters left to go, I blew out my hamstring. I heard the pop.
Oh.
I felt it. I grabbed for it. You can see on the video. I reached back in abject pain and terror. But I did limp my way to the finish line, and I had a big enough lead that I still won.
Okay, where can people watch the video?
Seattle Sports YouTube page, or I think I tweeted it out earlier, at the Mike Salk, if that's something that intrigues you.
The thing I've got to mention is, yesterday, there were people predicting that you would blow out a hamstring.
Oh, well, people have been predicting it for a week. They were right, but I still won. Those same people were thinking I was going to lose, and they can shove it. Every one of them.
Jeez.
Yeah, haters. I'm like DK Metcalf, man. I got a mental list of everybody who passed on me.
When I was in high school... And I had to wrestle against girls.
Yeah.
You know what no one ever bragged about? Winning.
Because you're a sexist? This isn't about men and women. What are you talking about? I was racing against my producer.
Well,
no,
not
sexism
to mention,
thing.
She's a
chef.
She's a runner. And
she's sexist.
She's a runner. She's younger than me. She said she was going to win this race. I was like, no, you're not. And then I won.
I just want to say this before you go. For the first time.
Are you one of those people who thinks you could beat Caitlin Clark in one-on-one? What's the matter with you?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Sheesh.
Not at all.
Embarrassing.
I've said on the air, there's plenty of women who can kick my butt.
I am horrified by your sexism here today on the show.
Hey, Mike Salk, for the first time since I've taken my 23andMe test,
yeah,
it's the first time I've looked at your Patagonia jacket, and I'm thinking, man, maybe I need one.
Maybe I can rock one of those.
Yeah.
How about G yesterday, or 2 days ago, gets pulled over, gives him his name, gives him his license, registration, okay, and 23andMe card. Hi, I'm G Scott, and I'm Irish.
Well, we didn't hear about the 23andMe card. That's news.
Hi, I'm G. This is my 23andMe card. It goes with my license. Oh, I keep this over here. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to hand that to you, officer.
I gave him a bad time about throwing out the I'm G Scott right out there at the front.
Do you know who I am? I'm on my way to help the Seahawks.
He learned a lesson, though.
Do you know the Seahawks?
People are not happy with
that. Oh, do you know the Seahawks? I work with the Seahawks. I'm very close with them, and I'm Irish. Anyway, that's me, G Scott.
I deserve all this.
Yeah, you do.
And
more. And more.
I deserve it all.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
See ya. Hey, coming up next on the Gino Show, it's time for Scenarios. Gino Show.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
It is Gene Ursula. Let's get to scenarios right now.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I am way too embarrassed to go to my friends or family with this, so I need to be anonymous. I have been in a relationship with my boyfriend for almost a year now, and I am really happy with everything. My friend recently started dating his friend, and she found out that he is still legally married because he said it was too expensive to get a divorce. But they haven't been together for 4 years. Now get this. They still own a house together, and they rent it out. I plan on asking him about all of this, but if he never told me any of this in a year, what other secrets is he keeping? So I'm confused. Is he really still married because it's too expensive for a divorce? Or am I missing something? 888-973-5476 is the Marcus Shue Casino Resort text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
I just have a question, a clarification to start. So the boyfriend of 1 year is the one who has not really gotten divorced?
Right.
Oh, that is a big fat red flag.
And owns the house.
And owns the house?
With the ex that they rent out.
He didn't tell you that in a year?
Mm-hmm.
Run. Am I missing something? This is the boyfriend, and she's saying he hasn't told me in a year, or this is a friend who's going out with someone who's doing
it. It's her.
She found out from the friend.
From the friend, right. She found out from the friend.
Oh, heck no. No. So that's lying by omission.
Can you talk this out?
No. For a year, he has failed to say that I'm actually still married? No, there's no talking that out. That's like a big fat lie. Like, okay. you've had a year of opportunity. You're still doing business with your current wife, and you haven't told. He's not that into you. You're just a. I don't even know if they're getting a divorce.
So is that one of those things where, like, there's nothing can be done? Just be like, that's it? Like, no, like, hey, you know, I didn't tell you because, or, you know, it was just uncomfortable.
What excuse is he going to give for not telling her?
I don't know.
I'm trying to play excuse.
Like you do me all the time. Devil's advocate here on the other side. I don't know.
I don't know. Well,
in this case, you know, the fact that I so quickly said, yeah, there's no talking this out. There's I'd be running. In fact,
I would never run.
You know, I would dig a little bit further. I bet they have no plans of even divorcing.
I think you're probably right.
I think she's just the... What do you call it? Sidecar? What do you call it?
Side piece.
Side piece. Sidecar. That's what I think.
There's a crucial detail missing in this story. Have you ever actually been to his house?
Yes, exactly. How well do you know this person?
Oh, yeah. I still own a house with my wife. We rent it out, though. We totally, sure. The only scenario that I've heard people not getting divorced in is when one partner refuses to sign the papers. And that can drag out for a long period of time. But a couple that is not together still has the financial flexibility to own a house and rent it out. Apparently they have an amicable enough relationship to do that. And he's saying he can't get married because of the money.
Yeah, I mean,
bull cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Has she confirmed that this information is correct?
So
that would be the first thing that I would do.
Confirm that it's correct.
Exactly.
You know what I've learned? I've learned that, and I think we can all agree on this. Have you ever, like, your business or a story people has heard or have heard, and then they start telling other people, and then... A lot of our lives are dealt with just a lot
of hearsay,
and then it ends up being misinformation.
Yeah, secondhand information. So the first thing you have to do is go directly to the source.
They're like, oh, did you hear? He still owns a house with the wife. And then you tell this person, and this person adds, oh, did you hear? He still owns three houses with that wife.
Yes. Obviously, the first thing you would have to do is confirm.
Yeah.
And then, depending on what the answer is, if it's all a bunch of BS, of course you're not going
to
run.
But I'm not used to you running. You usually like to stay and stick it out.
If it is confirmed, oh gosh, no. I have certain things that are absolute deal breakers.
I hear it.
That would be one of them.
How about sidecars?
Oh no. Sidecars and side pieces? No.
Well, this situation has my head all in a bunch with these details, and I'm still trying to get it straight. So we have this boyfriend living with the current girlfriend who's got another lady living somewhere else, and he sometimes goes to that place to see this girl while you got the other girl waiting on the other side. One of them ended up marrying the dude with plans to move into a different place than the two places these ladies live already. Oh, can we get some good news from this guy and set the record straight? I tell you what, he probably had to ask for an extra large driver's license or ID to get all those addresses fit on there.
All right. Okay. Good one.
I love that people are... Sidecar is a drink.
I want to take this time, Ursula, to push back on you a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I think that we run too fast. And this is coming from somebody that's been married a bunch of times. Anyway, I think we run too fast. And I think, okay, so let's just say that is true. Say that he is married and he does own a house, but he does everything else right.
That's a big lie. And it would have me questioning everything else that he tells me.
What if everything else is true?
Everything else is fine. He's just a bigamist. No big deal.
Yeah, not to mention, when it comes to relationships, you need to end one before you move
on
to the other.
And then the next guy you get with is not married, doesn't have a house with someone, but he does something else wrong, has a gambling problem. Or this other person doesn't have a gambling problem, not married, doesn't own a house, but he drinks too much.
G's advice, just settle, girl. I just settle.
Okay, like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's all. I'm not doing a good job of it, but I'm just saying it's always something.
In this case, if it is confirmed that he was still married and for a year he failed to tell her that and he still has a house with his current wife, you've been played.
All right. All right, everybody. It is time for Agree to Disagree. Coming up next, Sidecar, Gino.
Tell me something good.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.